Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. I'm Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintos.
And this is KHOI fundraiser time. Actually, the big KHOI fundraiser starts tomorrow. Tomorrow, folks, tune in for
post-election. We will get back to dealing with things here locally, our radio station.
But since this is our show, right now, we will mention a little bit about the upcoming fundraiser. This year, this is the first time that KHOI is going to be asking for memberships. A couple years ago, the prospect of community radio station sounded pretty darn impossible around here. But today, we have a fully functioning radio station with a studio.
A very nice professional studio.
And engineers that know what they're doing and all sorts of volunteers. And we have stuff on the air 24 hours a day. So miracles do happen. Miracles do happen. And now we are moving from the make it happen stage to the
maintain it and grow it up stage.
Maintain it and grow it up stage. So KHOI is starting to look for members. So call in to the radio station, go to the website, and pledge your membership. We'll talk more about membership later. We're also going to be talking about Donna's Carrot Cake Challenge as part of this membership drive.
Yes, I am going to bake what I think will be the best carrot cake that you ever tasted, and it will go to the highest bidder, who has already bought a membership, and you just call in to 515-292-2878, and then I will make the carrot cake on a date and time that you choose, probably sometime between, maybe Thanksgiving and Christmas or something like that. We can make an arrangement, should you be the lucky winner of this delicious, healthy, nutritious carrot cake made with Gary Guthrie's local carrots and Earl Hafner's early morning harvest organic flour. And then I have a few other little secret things that I slip in that you're going to really love.
So look forward to that carrot cake. And this carrot cake challenge goes all week. As I mentioned, the big fundraiser push starts tomorrow, Wednesday. But you can call in today and talk about carrot cake. We ask you to, before you bid, please pick a membership level, and you can talk to the person on the phone about that. Pick a membership level and join KHOI. There are three or four membership options. Oh, anyway. So ask for the $40 membership level, which is the basic one, or the premium level of $100, or join, become a member of the 500 families and support us with the $250. That'll be good for a year, too. Or you can give lots, lots more. But anyway, pick a membership and then bid on the carrot cake. You can call 292-2878 to start bidding on that dandy carrot cake. And Donna, please set the basic bid here. We're not talking about cheap carrot cake. We're talking about supporting the radio station.
Oh, yes. Well, the minimum bid will be $50, but we hope it goes for much more than that because it'll probably cost me half of that just to make the carrot cake. That's my donation, plus labor, plus there'll be delivery. My goodness. Plus, of course, I would include the recipe should you want to duplicate it.
That sounds really, really good.
Oh, it's election today.
Right.
I did my mail-in, so I don't have to worry about being someplace at the right time.
Yes, I did. I did a mail-in, too. This is the first year I have done an absentee ballot. Of course, I didn't read the instructions, and I got a call from the nice people at the county recorder's office that told me I forgot to sign on the dotted
line. I did the exact same thing. Dummies, but aren't we?
But I toddled
they
down
caught
there.
It. They sent it back to me in the mail. I signed it and sent it in. But
So make sure you vote, vote, vote. This is Election Day. Vote. And as I always say, vote early, vote often. Get out there and let your opinions be known, because if you do not vote, you have no right at all to complain. Yes. And we all know how we like to do that. I mean, around a kitchen table, what else do we talk about besides food, farming, recipes, and politics? Politics is what makes us work together, actually. It's about the little rules that we make so we get on with what we get on with, as in, like, driving on the right side of the road. All those handy
having
things.
Roads at all.
Or having roads at all. Speaking of having roads at all, I want to give a shout out to all of the nice guys that have been working on the bridge over Onion Creek. They have been working for 3 months.
Out of North Dakota.
On North Dakota, northwest side of Ames. And I have heard that the bridge will be open soon. They had to tear the whole thing out and start all over again. And so my trip to town has been very, very long. But I am ever so glad they've done it and they've done a good job. And also, they worked under some pretty challenging circumstances. During September, there was a whole lot of rain, and the bridge abutments or the bridge parts they were trying to put in got washed out a couple of times. You wouldn't think that little old Onion Creek would be a roaring torrent, but it caused them some problems. So three cheers to the bridge guys and also
the government that built it.
The government that built it.
The taxes that paid for it.
I didn't have to make that bridge all by myself. So that's just one example of what government does for us. So, like I said, Election Day, get out and vote. Also, we're going to be talking today, we're going to be considering taffy apples. We're going to be considering potatoes and a bit of banjo music and some other things. And reminding you over and over again to support this radio station. Support this radio station by becoming a member. Here's another thought about Election Day. I read a thing in a publication that I get every now and then by one of my favorite commentators. I like Jim Hightower. I think Jim Hightower is a really funny man. He also has some good things to say about how we get along. And he wrote a little article about shrimp. Now, you wouldn't think that shrimp has anything to do with Central Iowa or that it would have anything to do about government. What does shrimp have to do? Except I do like shrimp, and I try to eat it a lot. However, consider, if you don't have enough to worry about, there's something called early mortality syndrome. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it?
Nasty. Early mortality syndrome.
Ooh, nasty bits. Luckily, this is not a human disease, or it is not in America yet, but it affects us anyway because I like shrimp. And EMS, or early mortality syndrome, is something that attacks shrimp. And specifically, it's devastating the Thailand shrimp farming industry. Now, all right, that's fine. But think about this. Shrimp is by far America's most consumed seafood, and the vast majority of it comes from Thailand. Thailand shrimp farms. And, okay, that's fine. There we go. Now, to combat this disease, these shrimp farms have been dumping all sorts of stuff, all sorts of antibiotics into their ponds, and it seems all of this nasty stuff can end up on our plates. So be careful, be careful. Remember, we are supposed to have government to regulate this sort of thing. You think there's an inspector at the border with a little clipboard saying, good shrimp, bad shrimp. Well, because of lobbying and anti-government sentiments.
And budgetary cutbacks.
Less than one half of 1% of the tons of foreign produced shrimp are inspected. So be careful out there.
Here's something else you need to know about most of the shrimp that is imported from Thailand. It is farmed shrimp. And to make those farms, the mangroves that surround largely most areas of coastal Thailand The mangroves have been torn down for shrimp farming, which leaves the coastal areas unprotected. It's sort of an environmental disaster. I personally hardly ever eat shrimp because I don't eat the imported stuff. It is, as Lana pointed out, largely uninspected. So it's not particularly healthy, nor is it environmentally a really good idea. Then the Gulf shrimp, the American shrimp, which I used to eat, even though they say it's clean, I really, that's just me, but I don't believe it. So I don't eat Gulf shrimp anymore, which is sad because I really wanted to support those poor Gulf fishermen.
Right. This article from Jim Hightower ends up by saying buy local, which means locally grown.
Right, which means we've got no shrimp in Iowa, guys. So I've reduced my shrimp consumption to about 0.05%. And then there are a few places. Like if you happen to be on vacation in Southern California, there are something called local spot prawns, which are delicious. You can eat those if they're sustainably harvested. Also, if you're down in Mexico, like the Gulf of Mexico, the Sea of Cortez has beautiful shrimp if they haven't been all taken by the large Japanese fishing boats. But I would consider shrimp as delicacy, and it's as rare as caviar and getting to be as expensive unless you're eating the cheap stuff, which probably isn't a good idea.
Yes, so there's a little
go bit, for the chicken, yeah. Guys.
There's a little bit of
here in Iowa
government inspection, sort of. Really, truly, they're looking out for our well-being. I do hope that. Okay. Also, another thought, and we'll get into this in a future show. Another government sort of thing that maybe we could a problem that we should maybe address together. So what about that oil pipeline?
Oh boy, the stories are already getting nasty.
The oil pipeline that is going to go from the Bakken Shale area to bring all that fracked oil down through Iowa.
Through the beautiful farmland of Iowa.
It's going through Boone County and southeastern.
And Story County.
Story County. So we are affected, folks, and it's a kind of thing that we must deal with together
we're going to see if we can have
other.
A show about that maybe next week. But there have been a lot of stories surfacing already of surveyors trespassing unannounced on farmers' lands, of farmers being told that eminent domain has already happened, which it hasn't. Of course, my suspicious little me, is that after the election, this will like clip forward very quickly. So we're gonna have a whole show pretty much about this next time. It's not just about the farmers whose land could have a pipeline go through it. It's a lot of other issues about the long term consequences of burn, baby, burn, oil.
Yeah. So we're talking about that today, and we'll be talking about that more. Any future show, do talk about these things around your own kitchen table. It's the kind of thing.
Yeah, and stay informed, even though there doesn't seem to be a lot of information available. Somehow it seems a little clandestine, the whole thing here.
Yeah. Keep track of what's going on. There's always issues. People always are, like I said, if you don't vote, you really have no reason to complain, but I'm sure you have opinions. So anyway, be sure to get out there and vote.
And I'm sure if the pipeline is built and we have a big oil spill, it's going to be really, really everybody's business. So let's pay attention preemptively, okay?
And if an oil spill happens, maybe not in southwestern Story County, maybe it happens someplace else. But that's somebody else's backyard. That's somebody else's kitchen table that gets affected. We are really, truly all in this together. And remember, whoever wins the election today, the sun will come up tomorrow, and we have to get on working together as a community and as a state, as a country. We still are left with one another, no matter who wins. So we have to get to it. Here we go. I ran across a poem. What a nice time for a poem. A poem by someone called Sheena Pugh. It has something to do about governance, community, choices we make. It's called Sometimes. Sometimes by Sheena Pugh. Sometimes things don't go, after all, from bad to worse. Some years, muscadel faces down the frost. Green thrives. The crops don't fail. Sometimes a man aims high and all goes well. A people sometimes will step back from war, elect an honest man, decide they care enough that they can't leave some stranger to be poor. Some men become what they're born for. Sometimes our best efforts do not go amiss. Sometimes we do as we are meant to do. The sun will sometimes melt a field of snow that seemed hard frozen. Maybe it'll happen for you. That was a poem called Sometimes by Sheena Pugh, a little kind of cleansing of the palate of the election thoughts there. Yes, yes. I want to remind you that this is KHOI, and this is the very start of the fundraiser mode. If you would like to call and bid on Donna's Carrot Cake, you can call 292-2878, or you can go to the KHOI website and push the donate button. That will get you a pledge. You can pledge to get your membership going. Join as a member, and then you can bid on the carrot cake. Or, if you would like to call us here in the studio, we're live right now, 232-0365, and talk about what's on your mind. What's on your plate? Do you listen to this show? Oh, of course you listen to this show. What do you think of the show? Do you have questions? Do you have opinions? What's your favorite apple for apple pie? Do you have any backyard chicken stories? What exactly do you have for breakfast? I've often thought about that. I'd like to do an informal survey, maybe even starting today. What do people have for breakfast? Everybody's got their favorite. Anyway, so
coffee.
That's at the start of any good day. So if you'd like to talk to us, Donna and Lana, on the Donna Lana Kitchen, call 232-0365. And if you want to call and pledge some money to make sure that this station keeps roaring ahead, that's 292-2878.
Yes, and we're going to be a little repetitive about this fund drive. It's going to go on and on and on till we meet our goal of how much are we supposed to raise? 40,000?
I have some official information written down here someplace. I think we are with a matching grant or matching money that is pledged. We're trying for 10,000 for this whole shebang here, which means
Of the on air
for the on air fundraiser. There's also mailings and other kinds of things. And
you'll be getting a letter in the mail.
People are out there with tin cups, it'll be fine. But this fundraiser is going to keep going until we meet that goal. So let's take a little break here. This is KHOI 89.1 Heart of Iowa.
Thank you.
We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen on KHOI Community Radio. Let me emphasize that. That is community radio. It means that this is your radio station. Most of us are volunteers here, but we still need cold, hard cash to put
wind, pay the electricity.
To pay the electricity, to put wind in our sails, so to speak. Make sure this works for all of us. This is an ongoing conversation. You are invited to come down and visit the KHOI studio anytime. We're in the Pantorium building, the old Ames Pantorium. Used to be a dry cleaners. It's a great building. It's on Douglas Avenue. When I will interrupt this broadcast also to mention that this Friday, as part of this fundraising, as part of this fundraising week, November 7th at 7 p.m., there will be a showing of the movie My Beautiful Laundrette. Right here in the old Ames Pantorium, now the KHOI studio. And it'll be a fundraiser, a chance to meet everybody. A $5 donation is suggested. Refreshments will be provided. It's KHOI's film department putting this on. It's My Beautiful Laundrette. I saw that movie ages ago. I wouldn't mind seeing that
darling.
Again.
Yeah.
It's a darling movie. Yeah. How nice. So Wednesday, December?
No.
Wednesday.
Friday.
Oh, never mind. I'm reading the wrong part of this paragraph here.
It's this coming Friday,
this
right?
It is this coming Friday, November 7th at 7
o'clock.
P.M.
Okay.
Down here on Douglas Avenue, downtown Ames. Look for the Ames Pantorum building. The old sign is still up there. It's good. That music that you just heard, I said we'd have some banjo music. That was banjo player Bob Black. The tune was called Mississippi Fish Fry, and that was an original tune by Bob Black. He is a Iowa boy, a fine banjo player from eastern Iowa, and I picked some music by Bob Black. There is a connection here. I went to the Ames Town and Gown production, or Ames Town and Gown series production, put on in the Ames City Hall in the Ames Auditorium. The Rose Ensemble was there. They are a wonderful musical group with fantastic, wonderful voices. All of them are music historians. They play music. They sing. They have angelic voices. And they take on projects. They take on a century. They take on a composer. They take on sometimes rather obscure sort of music, and they research it and put on a concert. Sometimes it's Gregorian chants. Sometimes it's music of Spain. Sometimes chanting and songs from the Hawaiian Islands. I've heard them do all of this sort of stuff. This time, they were in Ames doing a program called The Roots of Bluegrass Music, believe it or not. They studied early American music coming from all over, from Native American, from Africa, from European roots, from the British Isles. It all sort of gets melded here. They sang some beautiful stuff. They research and sing this stuff that is just absolutely amazing. And yes, all of the shape note, the sacred music, the shaker tunes, tunes from the Civil War, they all kind of end up sliding into something called American music. And the close harmonies end up sounding a whole lot like early bluegrass. And I picked Bob Black because reference was made to early bluegrass music and Bill Monroe. Bill Monroe, I never hear that word or hear that name without it being Bill Monroe, the father of country music. Bill Monroe, the father of country music. Bob Black played with Bill Monroe in his early career, so he has some Bill Monroe stories. And his banjo is a real treat to listen to. He's back in Iowa doing his own stuff now. But there it is. There it is. So I thought, Ames Town and Gown, the Rose Consort, Bob Black's banjo, it's all American music. It's all good. I want to remind you to call 292-2878 to support us with money. Join KHOI and
bid on the carrot cake.
Bid on the carrot cake. Donna, kind of update us on the carrot cake, since maybe they didn't catch it way at the beginning of the show.
Okay. Once you have become a member, you are allowed to bid on the carrot cake, and this is going to be a fabulous carrot cake that I will make on a date specifically amenable to you and I, sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas, more or less. I'll even deliver it. And I'll even give you the recipe should you ever want to duplicate it again. It'll be made with Gary Guthrie's carrots and Earl Hafner's early morning harvest whole wheat pastry flour. Now, don't let that word whole wheat put you off. This is a fabulous, moist, delicious carrot cake. And I have a very special frosting, which is what I think makes it the best in the world. And I'm not talking about it right now. It's a big secret.
So bid on that carrot cake. The opening bid on that carrot cake is $50. It's worth every crumb, I tell you. It's worth every crumb. Get in there and put your bid in. This bidding on the carrot cake will go all week. We're starting it today on the Donna Lana Kitchen. The winner of the bid will be announced next week. That's the 11th on the Donna Lana Kitchen. All right. We have some post-Halloween thoughts
here. Oh, boy, did I have a Halloween this year. My grandson, Max, who's 10, lives in New Zealand. And they don't celebrate Halloween very much there. It's kind of an extremely minor thing.
So he had to come all the way to Ames for
Yes. He's been missing. Well, he used to live here, so he knows what Halloween is. And he hasn't been back for 4 years. So he came for Halloween, and we Halloweened. I'll tell you, we had a pre-Halloween party with Bobbing for Apples, which was a huge hit. It really, really was fun. It was cold. It was wet. We carved pumpkins that we put dry ice in. And the biggest hit was you take, you carve the pumpkin, you drop a glass of water in it, and then in the water is dish detergent. Then you put the dry ice in that, and these bubbles just sprooge out of the mouth. The kids thought that was hysterical. So we had all of those things, and then we made taffy apples. So I used this taffy apple recipe that I found that was basically honey, vanilla, and cream. And you just, with a candy thermometer, boil it to about 265. You have the apples chilled, and then you kind of let the caramel begin to cool down a tiny bit. That's what I learned from dipping.
Does one do this in a double boiler?
No.
Oh, no, just kind of on the – oh, your plate.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Thick bottom pot helps. My really good heavy bottom pan, and it was really fun, and they were delicious. None of this, you know, melt those old Kraft caramels. This was like the real stuff, and it was really not that complicated, and it was oodles of fun. And then last night, we made gingerbread cookies. Well, you know, he went out and got a huge sack of junk candy, and I let him eat enough that whatever he wanted till his teeth hurt and his stomach hurt, you know, and we still had a huge bag left over. So then the negotiations began. And since I don't have him very often, I was extravagant in my offers of, give me your candy, I will give you $10, a box of really much nicer organic ice cream bars. We'll make banana bread and we'll make homemade gingerbread men. And that finally got him. I got the rest of the candy with all the high fructose corn syrup.
You're a good grandma. Good grandma.
It was a tough bargain, though, I tell you. So we made the gingerbread men last night. That was really, we made them with whole wheat flour from Earl Hafner once again. And organic butter, of course. And then, of course, we had to frost them and put raisins on them and, you know, roll them out. Cookie making with children is a really big pleasure, I must say. I really enjoyed having Max here.
That's a good Halloween thing. I have to make one note that more and more houses are decorating for Halloween. And driving around central Iowa, you see spiders and spider webs and lights. And
oh, yeah. We had some great
ones.
Multiple graveyards in our neighborhood.
Oh, my goodness.
Ghouls. Oh, my goodness. Lots of lights.
I saw the nicest little touch. This was, of course, just a small part of a huge display. But the one that really kind of tickled my fancy is that the homeowner had wrapped the pink flamingos to look like pink flamingo mummies, wrapped them in toilet paper. And I thought, what are those things? And there was this whole line of pink flamingo mummies in among the graveyard. So yard decoration, lawn art really hits its peak. And now we're going to be sliding into the other holidays.
Yeah, I mean, Halloween is such a you can be irreverent, you can be creative, you know, it doesn't have any mystical significance, well, other than Halloween is the day when the veils between the worlds are thinnest.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And that sort of thing. So
that's pretty mystical.
It's a great holiday. I love Halloween. Which reminds us, we should announce that what's the date? We're going to do a whole Thanksgiving show far enough in advance of Thanksgiving that you, if you like any of our suggestions, it may help you plan your Thanksgiving menu. So that will be not the Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, but the Tuesday previous to that.
November 18th, that will be the Donna Lana Kitchen Tuesday noon show. On the 18th of November, Donna promises to share some Thanksgiving sort of things. So get thinking about things you want to taste and think about.
Oh, yeah, and call in if you have any questions, like, what's your best Brussels sprout recipe? Or, oh, and Lana and I each have an alternative pumpkin pie recipe. So you'll get two other versions of the possible beloved pumpkin pie.
Yeah. There'll be lots to talk about. Get your taste buds rolling.
Yes, and this is all after we do the fundraising drive. So let's get the donations over with so we can move on with our usual conversations.
Right. If you would like to call us today, in the studio, the in-studio number is 232-0365. You can talk with us about what's on your mind, what's on your plate. Do you have any words of wisdom? Or get in early on the membership drive, pledge your membership, and make a bid on that dandy carrot cake. That's 292-2878. Operators are standing by, I believe. Yes, sirree. also notice that we have been given a $5,000 potential matching funds for this on-air pledge drive. And we will keep raising funds until we meet that match. And thank you to the donors that did that. The on-air pledge drive is part of a larger end-of-the-year campaign. And we hope to raise, get this, folks, hang on to your seats, we're looking big, $40,000 by January 31st. We need to keep the lights on. We need to grow this radio station. We need to maintain this radio station. It is going into your ears right now, and it's got a great potential for lots of things in Central Iowa that we can do to talk to each other, share information, share ideas, and grow. Yes, yes.
Plus, I bet you could come down and be a volunteer for the pledge drive.
I bet one could. Or you could come down and find out about radio. This is community radio. You can get involved in producing a show or...
Yeah, that's help. All Lana and I did. We just signed up, and here we are.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Oh, my goodness. So we've talked about some different things here. Let's take another music break here. One can never have too much banjo music. We'll have some more music by Bob Black. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was music by Bob Black, an original tune that he wrote for his grandfather, who he said in his liner notes had the best long handlebar mustache that was snow white that he'd ever seen, and he always liked his grandpa. It's called Pinckney's Jig, so it was Grandpa Pinckney's Jig. This is KHOI 89.1, Story City in Ames, the heart of central Iowa. This is your community radio station. Support it with your big bucks. This is time to come up and support the radio station. You had something to say about milkweed, Donna.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, as you know, we finally had a real spurt of very cold, well, the beginning of the very cold weather, okay, where everything in the garden withered. But I went out and I noticed that my milkweed plants are finally starting to split open. So I collected them, and this year, having realized that milkweed is very important to the monarch butterfly, which we are seeing has huge declines as a species. It's very, very sad. So I'm doing my little bit in the garden. So I'm collecting the seeds instead of just letting them go where they want. Some of them are dropping where they usually grow, but I've been collecting them and then spreading them in every sunny part of my yard. Garden part, not in the lawn because they'll just get mowed over, but I don't have a lot of lawn. I have a lot of flower beds. So I've been trying to do my bit to help the milkweed spread. Actually, I should start spreading them all over town, be like Johnny Appleseed. But if you have any milkweeds in your garden, go and collect some of the seeds, not all of them, because some of them should stay where they are, but collect some of that beautiful little fluff in your hand and go around and kind of park it really near the ground in the understory and some other sunny spots so next year you'll have even more milkweed.
Yes, we can affect our environment. Let's get to it, folks. Let's think of the butterflies and all the things that we depend on. We depend on the butterflies and lots of other things.
Spreading the milkweed is a very nice little ritual. We've been waiting for the seeds to pop for about a month now, and they are finally there.
Yeah, doing kind things. We've got kind things for each other, kind things for the environment, kind things for our community. I have another poem here. Why not? Banjo music, poems.
Milkweed.
Yeah, milkweed. All of this is good stuff. As you move into the holiday season, we tend to think of traditions and all those helpful things that make the holidays go better, to get out the good linen, to bake your favorite thing, to share things, to call people that you haven't talked to in a long time, to think of a Christmas card or two. And a lot of these things we learn from our mothers. This is a poem called What I Learned from My Mother by Julia Kasdorf. I learned from my mother how to love the living, to have plenty of vases on hand in case you have to rush to the hospital with peonies cut from the lawn, black ants still stuck to the buds. I learned to save jars large enough to hold fruit salad for a whole grieving household, to cube home canned pears and peaches, to slice through maroon grape skins and flick out the sexual seeds with a knife point. I learned to attend viewings, even if I didn't know the deceased, to press the moist hands of the living, to look into their eyes and offer sympathy, as though I understood loss even then. I learned that whatever we say means nothing. What anyone will remember is that we came. I learned to believe I had power to ease awful pains materially, like an angel, like a doctor. I learned to create from another's suffering my own usefulness. And once you know how to do this, you can never refuse. To every house you enter, you must offer healing. A chocolate cake you bake yourself, the blessings of your voice, your chaste touch. That was a poem called What I Learned from My Mother by Julia Kasdorf. And it's from a collection that I found real handy for this show and for my bedside table. So it's called Good Poems, selected and introduced by Garrison Keeler, as heard on the Writer's Almanac. So this was a nice thing.
This poem reminds me of one time I heard Orrin Lyons, who's a very well-respected Native American elder, he was saying that in their language, when you say "I love you," the word "love" is actually a verb. It's not a feeling. It's something you do. You know, it's not like something you think. It's something you do, and that's the idea of loving. It's active.
Yes, a good family thing. A good family thing. This is KHOI. This is the start of the membership fund drive. Call 292-2878 to become a part of this radio station. And with families and gatherings coming up, let's talk about potatoes.
Potatoes, the staff of life. I love good bread, but I am a potato person. I love potatoes. I love potatoes even more than pasta. It seems, I don't know, I think a pasta still seems like something Italian. Potatoes, that is Midwestern.
Yeah.
And rice. Also, I love rice too, but potatoes are Midwestern. We don't really grow rice here.
Right. And what else do you have with your Thanksgiving dinner? Somewhere in there has to be potatoes. You can do a lot of different things.
Mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes. Now, sweet potatoes, that's a whole different ballgame, but I love sweet potatoes.
And they grow here quite well if we have a warm enough summer.
Yes, they do, and there are many, many kinds. There's the yams, the actual sweet potatoes. There's the Japanese sweet potatoes. Sometimes I've seen at the market. What else? Potatoes. You can make soup, which I do a lot. Basic soup recipe. Boil them up with an onion, throw in a bay leaf, cook it till it's mushy, put it in the blender. Oh, take the bay leaf out. Put it in the blender with salt and pepper and add a little milk or cream, and bingo, you got potato soup.
There you go. I really like au gratin potatoes.
Ooh.
And scalloped potatoes. And
she's in for the classics here.
Now, see, that is the classics. I'm a little leery about making them. Scalloped potatoes, I remember from Lutheran church suppers showing up in great big roasting pans, slathered in all sorts of onions and ham. And I was always amazed at how you can get that much potatoes into something and have them done. I'm never quite sure how thick to cut them. What does one cook them in?
You know, it's
talk about that.
It's it is a classic dish. It takes a lot of handwork because you can parboil or pre-cook the.
Are you talking? Is this scalloped potatoes or au gratin potatoes?
Well, au gratin is just with cheese.
Okay. It's the same thing. The same thing. Okay. Scalloped potatoes. I wonder why they're called scalloped potatoes. I always thought that was like an edge.
I don't know. I never even asked that. It's so old.
Basic scalloped potatoes.
Yeah. Basically, I would – you can bake them all the way in the oven, but I would par-bake them or even boil them, you know, slice them.
Partially bake them?
Yes. And then slice them into the pan and then put in, if you want, ham or bacon or something like that. Ham would probably be better. If you're going to use bacon, you should pre-cook the bacon too because it will be too greasy. Mm-hmm. And then the base of both au gratin and scalloped potatoes really is a bechamel sauce.
Now see, another thing that pushes my limits here. Let's talk about that. So you'd put this prepared potatoes and onions and other ingredients in probably a greased pan?
Yeah, a large kind of Pyrex-y thing of some sort.
Yeah, talk about bechamel.
Oh, bechamel it's one of the mother sauces in French cuisine, but really it's think of thin gravy. It's kind of like that. You know, you melt some sort of fat. It could be the bacon fat if you really want it yummy. Or it could be any other kind of pan drippings. Or it could be butter is the classic. And or a mixture of butter and olive oil I think is good because it doesn't burn as easily. And then you put flour into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the flour is really mixed with the oil. I do this in a cast iron skillet. And then you slowly pour in milk or cream. Depends on how much fat you can stand.
Ah.
And then you keep stirring at a low heat, kind of, while the cream dissolves. I mean, this is how you make gravy, too. So I use a whisk for that part so you don't get lumps. And you just... So to do the scalloped potatoes, you would pre-cook the potatoes, slice them into the buttered pan, pour the bechamel, which is pre-prepared, over it. Then if it's au gratin, you add cheese, grated cheese, basically.
What's a good cheese?
A Gruyere or Swiss would be kind of classic.
Ooh, that'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
See? I love that stuff when somebody else makes it for me, and now maybe I have the courage to try it myself.
Well, I think it's a wonderful kind of classic holiday treat. It's warm and yummy. And there are ways to reduce the fat, which would be to make the bechamel more with milk, less with cream. Of course, if you make it without the cheese, that's less fat as well. And it is a meal in itself on a cold winter day, which we're going to get pretty soon.
That's a good way to eat potatoes. And with other things coming up here, there's also the classic mashed potatoes.
Oh, dear, mashed potatoes. I'm such an uneven masher. I hate to say it. I end up always calling it smashed potatoes because then it can have lumps in it. You know, I'm really not good at the fluffy mashed potatoes, I have to say. And I don't care enough that I bother to figure it out because smashed potatoes is just fine with me.
mashed potatoes a la dante to have a little bit of chew in it. With or without the skins on.
Well, not that
fine.
I don't love the fluffy ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you go to a restaurant, unless it's a very high-end restaurant, and you get the fluffy potatoes, I'm always a little concerned that they're made from a mix or something.
Oh, do they? Is that still available, potato flakes that they – that was a big deal.
Oh yeah, it's still available.
Couple centuries ago. That's what I thought when I first started cooking. You got it from a box, and
yeah.
No,
bad stuff. So.
Yeah, okay.
My grandson Max just came into the studio. Do you want to say hello, Max?
Hi.
Some noise!
Louder,
some noise!
Louder!
Hello.
And he's going to be going back to New Zealand in 2 more days. And how were the cookies that we made last night?
They were delicious.
And what about the frosting? That was your idea.
Yeah, they went really good with the cookies as well.
Made them sweeter, didn't it?
Yeah,
sweeter.
Yeah,
we made a, let's see, what did I put it? Oh, I just took powdered sugar. I put a little orange extract for a little kick, and then the rest was all lemon juice. And that was the frosting on the gingerbread men. And Max helped me do all the rolling, and we had quite a thing of it. So thank you for coming to the studio, Max.
Part of your whirlwind tour of Iowa.
Yes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good. I want to remind you that this is fundraiser time. Call in and become a member of KHOI. Visit the KHOI website, khoifm.org. There's a donate button there just to make things really, really easy. You can go there, push that button, and have at it. Or while you're there, scroll around and see all the different kind of great shows. There's all kinds of music programs, locally produced. There's all kinds of nationally syndicated stuff that we get, too.
Yes, or you can come in. You can walk right in the front door and make friends with all of us and be part of the campaign, be part of the radio station. We always need more help around here. It's a monumental effort sometimes.
Right. You can find the Donalana Kitchen page on that website. Believe it or not, there's a picture of Donna and I. There's a list of our past shows, and you can download those past shows and listen, see what you missed. And there's some recipes up there in the corner where we share our great years of wisdom. There's a few recipes there.
Yeah, and we've promised to share our 2 unusual versions of pumpkin pie in time for you to try them if you want to make a few changes in the traditional family dinner for Thanksgiving.
Right, that'll be on our show on the 18th. So, yes, we are sliding into the holidays here. Community radio is a lot of good stuff. It's funded by listeners. And here's some of the things you can hear on KHOI. Every week on KHOI, there are 13 hours of local interest programs, including Local Talk, Heart of Iowa, this very show, The Donalana Kitchen, KHOI Previews the Arts, and more. There's always new stuff happening. There's 30 hours, at least, of local DJ'd music and all sorts of different music, music that I never knew existed. But if I listen, and I do, I listen to some old favorites, and then there's always some surprising stuff. And there's people that play this music because they love it.
And it's what I like about it. It reflects the diversity of our community. We really have a lot of different kinds of things going on in this small little town in the middle of Iowa.
There's room for all of us. There is room for all of us. So listen, find the program guide on the website, too. And there's 18 hours of classical music. And there's 17 hours of public affairs programming with shows like Democracy Now! And the Best of Arne Arneson and all that sort of stuff.
And this is every week, folks.
Every week, folks. And there's community calendar. There's creators calendar. Community bookshop. There's all kinds of stuff. So, hope you all had a dandy Halloween.
And be sure to vote.
Be sure to vote. Vote early, vote often. Go to it. And be sure to remember that we really are all in this together. We're in this state, we're in this community, we're in this world together, and this radio station also works because we're all in this together. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. Tune in all week for more of the KHOI fundraiser. Listen to all sorts of folks talking at you with all sorts of different programming.
Yeah, take a carrot cake bid.
Yes, yes. I'll be on the radio this coming Saturday. I'll be talking more about that carrot cake, too. All week to bid on that carrot cake. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen, music by Bob Black. My name's Lana Noctigal.
And Donna Prisgintas.
With excellent engineering by Rick Morrison.
And Max Prisgintas was here momentarily also.
Yes, thanks for the gingerbread update there. That was good. Support your community radio station. Think carrot cake. Eat good food and enjoy life.